When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, my talkers, it's a new week. Let's reset that hourglass and settle in for hour one of Lori and Julia.
Thank you, Grant.
You are welcome.
It's Monday. What's everybody's weekend claim to fame?
I think you should start.
Oh, Julia, I can't go first.
Why?
Because I'll go on and on.
I'm ready for you to go on and on.
Okay. Well, let's have Grant just weigh in. Did you have anything that was like weekend claim worthy?
I went down to back to the 50s
right.
And walked around all day Saturday, and it was the whole fairgrounds was full of cars, full of people, music, beer, laughter, food, and it was a beautiful day Saturday. I couldn't have had more fun. It was great.
Could you smell people's intentions?
That's Lori's line.
You could smell a little
Grant,
bit.
Grant, that was a pickup line of ours from years ago. I can smell your intentions.
There was definitely some intentions going around. It felt like the first, I've been down there for the first car show of the year, and I went down there for the mini fair.
Right.
So I've been down there to the first two events this year down there, but this one, it felt like the first time it was really, it was full. People were shoulder to shoulder. Granted, there were cars everywhere.
Right.
But, people were drinking, laughing, having fun. There was even a couple people that I thought were a little too inebriated, which I was proud to see.
Yeah. Right.
It was great. It was great.
This is my experience up in Duluth at Grandma's Marathon because it's been 2 years. This was the first full race, that's happened in the United States at Grandma's.
The first full marathon of the year? It's post-COVID kind of thing?
It's the largest American in-person road race so far in 2021, even though it was cut in half. It was it's always magical, to be in Duluth and watch at the end, be at the finish line, watch the runners. It's so pretty. It was another epically fabulous running day. Duluth has a decades-long tradition, Julia, of good weather for the runners.
Yes.
68, yes. Cloudy, all of that. And, but it was so rowdy, so you could smell the intentions, the pheromones, the testosterone,
yes,
the estrogen, the joy. People were, they moved all the music. So after the runners finished and we had the first Minnesota women's runner at Grandma's Marathon since 1987. 26-year-old.
The first one that won.
Yeah.
Right.
We even had a winner.
Because you're like, we had the first woman from Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
The
first Minnesota women's runner since 87. Mm-hmm. And really exciting, the guy who won the men's race, he's from Kenya and he's a cow farmer. I was real happy for him. He's taken second before, but
Rocco Sheik at Rocco. I mean, Grant, she participates in marathon like it's a baseball game.
Okay.
Marathon watching for Lori. She has done this
every
year.
I'm an enthusiastic spectator, and there's a lot of people that love running marathon. Grandma's both the half and the full because the spectators are everything, and they're from start to finish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Handing out beers, wearing costumes, ringing their cowbells, cheering. But we only cheer until 3:30.
You've shortened it.
We've shortened it up.
So you have to run your 26 miles in under 3:30.
That's right. So we can go lay a base inside at Grandma's and
get some food before they go to the dancing tents.
That's right.
And I'm translating your conversation.
It all moved over to Bayfront. They didn't have the tent in the parking lot at the end because when they planned all this because of COVID, so all the bands, all the beer was over at Bayfront.
And
it was an explosion of people. There must have been 10,000, 15,000. We were there from 9:30 in the morning until 10 at night when they make you leave.
Lasted that long.
That's we're marathon
people.
You're
seasoned.
We're seasoned
vets.
And Julia, it was just people were, I mean, normally it takes a while for dancing maybe to start, maybe dancing really starts in earnest by 2. People were dancing by noon.
So it didn't, just as many people that would be there if it was.
More spectators.
Really?
I think,
yes. Think
every
more.
20 and 30 something in the region.
I would agree with you. I've been to Back to the 50s probably for the last 7-8 years, and that was as packed as I've ever seen it in my entire life. It was ready to rock. And like you said, there were some dirty intentions for later that night. It was fun.
People were just like so happy to be out and about. I mean, you had to have experienced this whatever, wherever you were out and about this
weekend. I was at the cabin. I had some girls up, and we have this great bar on our lake that started up like 3 years ago. It was an old place, but new people came and took it over. But we ran into people that we ran into there last summer during COVID, and we had spent an afternoon with giggling on our pontoons next to each other. You know, they were so fun, and a ton of people. Everyone just is in the mood.
It's like a whole full moon, and I mean, you could just like. I mean,
everyone's excited.
I mean, here I go in, and we have to get our wristbands, and this just beautiful cop, just a nice looking 30 year old.
Did you ask him to?
I had him hold my wrists and ask him to take my pulse. It's been so long since I've
been to touched a festival. By a different man.
No, my festival. I said I haven't been to a festival in so long. Take my pulse. He goes, "Oh, it's racing." I go, "Is it?" You know,
of course it is.
I mean, people were really just dancing and going nuts. My favorite thing. This guy grabs my girlfriend and I, goes, "Come on, ladies, let's go dance and get contagious."
I love it. I love it.
But people were really, you could just tell, we're so happy to be at a festival. And Grandma's always kind of feels like that marathon weekend always feels like it kicks off summer in Duluth.
Yeah.
It's the first full weekend. All the hotels are full. The restaurants are busy. You know, last year was a ghost town.
I know,
and
right?
People were like, what's going to happen?
Right.
And all
a lot
of that.
Of uncertainty.
So people were just, I think, giddy at the possibilities of the hot vac summer ahead of them. Mm-hmm.
And the more we continue to go into this summer and do these things, I think it's going to get even hotter and more. I think people are going to have more.
Yeah. There was an crackling energy.
Because all of, we were just sitting there and like, we kind of talked about what we talked about on Friday, how people aren't waiting anymore. It's kind of like, let's live now. Let's do things now.
We're vaccinated. Let the vaccine do its job.
And everyone was ready to go.
Nobody's
going to be like that one that's like just gonna bring down the group, because who's gonna do that when nobody has time for that right now. Like back in the day, like, I've been doing this for 4 weekends in a row and I just had nobody has time for that attitude.
I've been having fun 4 weekends in a row. What am I gonna do now?
Yeah. So finally, I think that also helped out, that everybody's just so happy that you're not gonna have that Debbie Downer, not to use that, but you know what I'm saying? That's just like,
no, well, everyone was in a happy mood.
Exactly.
Happy. Even my, she will remain unnamed, but So I always kind of a group of people, people, Duluth friends and stuff. We see each other and I look at my one friend and I notice, I'm like, why do you have a white tail hanging out of your pants?
Was it a tampon string?
It was a long piece of white toilet paper with wet on the end.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. That was tucked into the back of her pants. Okay.
Yes. Oh, no.
I
would have died.
She tried to say, I put this there on purpose. No. And then that made us laugh. And we laughed for like a half hour.
How long did she have it?
Who knows? But the people around us were laughing. No one was making fun. We were just howling.
Right.
That how far did she walk
from the bathroom with that wet piece of toilet paper hanging out of her pants?
And it was a nice long strand of it.
Oh.
You know, I'm going to say like 8 or 9 squares. Enough that it looked like a tail.
Okay, Lori, how funny was that?
We were, every time we'd look at each other, we go, oh, tail. It was just the most, you know, silly. Everything was just setting us off, but it was super. It just
yesterday we were also grateful for the rain too at the same time.
Oh yes,
because we had a beautiful day Saturday, and yesterday I was so grateful for rain. It is so dry everywhere.
Longest car ride
home
of my life since maybe a snowstorm, driving from Duluth to.
What time were you?
Pouring rain.
What time?
Left at 4. Pouring rain. Poured.
Yeah, it was.
I left earlier than you.
It was much dicier up north than it was around here. We would get some patches here and there around here, which were nice, but up north, anything north of like Alexandria, it was raining all day
long. Yeah, and it's just like there's a monotony and then, you know, I'm maybe hungover.
Maybe. It was a question mark.
You know.
How many cups of coffee can you have?
Yeah, I took a nap with my dad, you know, on Father's Day. That's typical.
He's used to you always being zonked on Father's Day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I give him a gift in the card and he's...
Did he like it? Did he like his battery light?
His solar lantern.
Yeah, did he love it?
Yes. And the first thing he asked was, I wonder how many lumens it has. Ah! I was impressed that he...
Oh, I don't even know what that word means, but I'm sure it means something.
How bright it is.
Oh.
Yeah. And lumens. It has the SOS. Just in case. I said, Dad, you never know. The zombie apocalypse. You're prepared.
Totally.
You got the solar lantern. All right, listen, we got to go. It's our story we can't get enough of. So this is the Foo Fighters last night on Father's Day evening at the granddaddy of all arenas, Madison Square Garden, held its first sold-out concert since the party shut down in March of 2020, and the last show at MSG was the Allman Brothers.
Wow.
And other, like, it was kind of like a tribute thing, right. Some Allman Brothers there, but that was the last big show. So the Foo Fighters were there. They did perform this song. They're covering Bee Gees songs. They've got that Hail Satin album coming out that's all the Foo Fighters covering the Bee Gees. But we've got a little audio from CBS. One of their producers from CBS this morning was at the show last night.
Okay.
The Foo Fighters headlining the first show at the Garden since the pandemic lockdown. Take a look.
Closing.
So that video was shot by our executive producer Shauna Thomas, who was at the concert. That was her. You could hear her. So how did the vaccination, how do they check vaccination, Shauna?
So on the way in, they basically just ask you to show your vaccination card, or you could show the Excelsior Pass, which is something we have in New York that's on an app on your phone. And they checked them all as we went in, and then the second line, they checked your tickets.
Wow, okay.
8,000 checks.
Was it orderly?
It was incredibly orderly. It was fast to get in. I was actually really surprised.
All right. So fans packed in. It was a full capacity event. As Shauna said, you had to be fully vaccinated. Comedian Dave Chappelle surprised fans, joining the Foo Fighters on stage to sing a cover of Radiohead's Creep. Take a listen to this.
It's not good.
That's a hard song to sing.
Told me about that. I had to read it twice. Dave Chappelle singing, but he has a connection with the band because he hosted Saturday Night Live when the Foo Fighters were the main musical guest.
He also did a Bee Gees number. You should be dancing.
Really?
Yes, I heard.
Listen to these guys. They're so excited. But I guess, so the Foo Fighters, they came out, Dave Grohl, they started with Times Like These, and that is usually their closing
song.
And they started it. And when the song was over, he just put his arm up, and I mean, it was just a roar
from
the crowd.
Okay, so this is the first, I think, we've heard about a concert.
It's the first big concert that's happened.
But required COVID.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that people have, because that kind of pushback happened with the cruise lines, and they're not doing it now, and
we haven't had any concert yet. So I think
that's true. I'll be curious.
Yeah, and so after, He just wanted to play, but he just said, we've been waiting for this. We've been waiting for this. Do you want rock and roll? And people just kept getting, it just kept getting louder and louder. And it just got bigger and bigger. And then he said, listen, I just want to say that, you know, we're so happy to be here. And they were just like, people were just like,
giddy. Well, I'm sure like everyone is everywhere.
They could smell the intentions, I'm sure. There, and I guess people were just like very emotional, and there were some people picketing because they required vaccines,
right?
But nobody cared about that. Okay. They're like, we're vaccinated, we're going.
Okay,
see you later.
So, and then on the other, we had the big outdoor concert here at Mystic Lake, didn't we, with Darius Rucker?
Yeah, John Bream. Oh, I love how he writes. Jeez Louise,
do you like Darius Rucker, Grant?
Yeah, Hootie. I mean, originally fell in love with Hootie. I was a country fan, so I was really impressed with his ability to do such a great crossover.
Right.
Oh, yeah. But when I go see country music, I'm not always seeking out Darius Rucker as a country singer. But
he doesn't tour very often. I mean, he was at the State Fair. We were at that show opening night of the fair like two or three years ago.
Yeah, 3 years, I think it was.
So great. Yeah. But he said it was a packed Mystic Lake Casino Amphitheater. It was, of course,
Which is super beautiful to see a show at. Beautiful.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
This is amazing.
Yeah, it's beautiful because it faces was a west.
Hot night, so you get the sunset. Yeah. And so he played 100 minutes, and he said, he writes, who kicks off a career at age 42, let alone a black singer in a genre that hasn't had a black star since Charlie Pride? Mm-hmm. But Darius Rucker has one of the most distinctive male voices
in
country, a rich as molasses baritone with a hint of unshowy soulfulness. In addition, he's one of Nashville's most appealing dancers, writes John Brown. He may not shake it like Luke Bryan or shimmy like Dwight Yoakam, but when Rocker undulates those hips in slow motion, it purrs S-E-X-Y. And then, you know, of course, they do the hootie thing and all that kind of stuff. And he just, he always sings, finishes with whale wheel. Or
Wagon Wheel.
Whale Wheel's
cousin.
Yeah, Whale Wheel's cousin, which is like he's...
Have you heard Whale Wheel yet today?
That's right.
Play Whale Wheel.
Bream said it's country's answer to Sweet Caroline, Wagon Wheel.
That's kind of like a really good analogy right there.
Yeah, it is. Leave it to John. And even though I know, Grant, you like the old Crow Medicine Show, Crow version, I think not as many people knew that, and Darius Rucker took that.
Yes, you're right. It's kind of an old, he made it famous for sure.
And I feel like Bob Dylan has a writing credit.
He does. Bob Dylan was actually the original writer of the song, but here's a little bit of it.
Heading down south to the land of the pines and thumbing my way.
We've sang this as a Friday sing-along. I think we could sing this. I'm putting it on a list because every Friday we go, what are we going to sing? What are we going to sing?
Yeah, it's such a good song.
You're right. His voice. I got goosebumps right now.
It's so good.
It's epic. It's so good.
And everyone sings along. And he said it's almost, Bream writes, it's almost like Darius Rucker has forged a new strain of country music, Nashville's equivalent of yacht rock. Let's call it pontoon country.
Well, there's nothing wrong with a pontoon boat.
I know. A
couple beers, pontoon, and some country music, and I am set.
Yeah, so people probably were smelling other people's intentions at Mystic.
It's so funny because I'm just thinking about, okay, so my pontoon boat is old, you know, but it still seats a good amount of people, and Grant, there's no music system, so we have to bring a speaker.
Hey, that works.
And I'm like, okay.
I danced on that boat. Oh, you were very danceable.
I have
pontoon.
So many dancers from this weekend. Yeah. The girls, they just all, everyone feels the need to just get up and do a solo.
At Grandma's, down at Bayfront, so the dance floor, if you will, is huge in front of the stage.
Right.
And normally, like at festivals, there's people sitting right there.
Uh-huh.
That dance floor was packed from one end of the stage to the next.
So
all,
good.
You know, 10D. I mean, people were just losing their minds dancing.
Fun.
Yeah, really, really fun. So, all right, listen, what are we coming back with?
Maybe, are we going to say we might need Mondays to come this summer because we do so much activities on the weekend?
Yes.
Good Lord.
Yes. All right, listen, we come back. The $10 million payout, we got the details.
Do you have a favorite video you've posted, Grant?
You know, I would say there was a reaction that I think was Brittany was filling in one day when they were reacting to the whole Demi Lovato
frozen yogurt.
Yes,
scene.
That was a pretty good one. I like the My Talk Reacts videos the best. We started out doing a lot of our, you know, our staples from each show, but now we're getting more of these My Talk Reacts videos, and we're even taking every show's reaction. So we'll take your reaction to a big story. We'll take, you know, maybe Don and Steve's reaction and combine them into one video so we can get what you guys are feeling for these big stories. So I like that aspect.
I like
doing.
That too.
I didn't even know we were doing that.
Neither did I.
And that's all Jess and Amy are the brain team, or B. That's Arthur amazing. The brain team behind that. So.
Yeah. That's a lot of work. It's okay. Fun. So we got, remember a couple of weeks ago when we had learned that Chris Harrison got paid an 8-figure
payout
yes. to leave Bachelor Nation.
Yes.
And
then at one point it was up to 25. And then
25,
it was,
20 million,
yep.
50 million. Right. We heard it was so much. So,
all over the board.
So anyway, I had to laugh at this story. They call him the Rose County reality show host robot, Chris Harrison. But Variety did an in-depth article about the behind the scenes going on of Chris Harrison leaving The Bachelor.
And this is more than we learned in the Hollywood Reporter, you think?
Because
we had heard a lot about that. Everyone thought it was going to go, but he was going to stay.
Get ready to feel sorry for Chris Harrison because he only got a measly $10 million, you guys.
So he got a 2-year severance check, basically, because he was making $5 million a year.
That's right. So So his downfall started with an interview with the former Bachelorette, Rachel Lindsay. And Rachel was the only Black Bachelorette until Tyesha Adams, and was very vocal about the ways that the show could improve its racial representation. She was on Extra. And Variety says the Extra interview with Chris Harrison was not even a planned interview.
Why did it happen
then? Chose to do it
because he offered himself up. Because he wanted to stand up and correct what was going on in the season with the current Bachelor situation,
Rachel Kirkconnell, and he thought he would defend her going to the antebellum mansion. So it wasn't even a planned thing. So this
I'm gonna just tell you, speaking from something else that I know that happened this year, that's when the trouble starts,
when you decide to do something isn't a planned thing.
I'm gonna get in there, I'm gonna correct this,
yeah,
or and it's not a big deal, I'm just gonna do this, I'm helping other people out. That's when I see things go awry in the bigger scope.
It was an incredibly cringe inducing 14-minute interview, and I remember watching it live because I always tape Extra, right. You know, and he was completely unaware that anything that he said to Rachel was
taken as badly as it was.
Yeah, and according to a small handful of people familiar with the situation that talked to Variety, Chris, I did not realize even a day afterwards, like how problematic that interview was. So it snowballed from there, and he wound up stepping back for racial insensitivity training after he apologized. And it was then planned he would go on GMA, which airs The Bachelor, be on ABC, and Chris thought it would go well. It didn't. And GMA host Michael Strahan called BS on Chris Harrison's
which
apology.
You never really see someone at the end of an interview with one of their sister properties.
No, he didn't do it then. He was asked about it afterwards.
Right. No, Lori, I watched it live. Yeah. Michael Strahan said, well, I guess that was an apology.
Right.
He said it right there.
Well, because Chris was
did it right there.
But but that's not Michael Strahan's fault calling it out.
No,
so I don't know why you're calling it out, because I felt like it was Chris Harrison who was so disingenuous. There was no place else for Michael Strahan to just say, well,
I would
I
agree with you, but we've never seen that really as well. I was just trying to say.
Oh, we see Savannah Guthrie push back on, but you see people push back
usually
in
interviews. Not on their own network. That was my only point.
I kind of feel like they definitely push back on their social media. They might express their feelings, but after the interview to express it like that, it was a little bit, I'm happy to hear him say it. You know, it was like, hey,
it was what we all thought.
It was what we
but
all
it was
thought.
Unusual because it was one of their own properties. That was all he was getting at.
Yeah. Right. And the Bachelor executives were completely perplexed by why Chris Harrison was so rigid and so disingenuous, because he didn't really think he did anything wrong. That's the main reason.
I guess that's it. Yep.
And then the last nail in his coffin after that came when Katie Thurston, who is the Bachelorette right now, she spoke to Chris Harrison directly and said, I am going to tell the Bachelorette people I'm not comfortable with you hosting if I'm on. And she told him that to his face.
Wow.
She told him that to his face. And this conversation upset Chris Harrison. And according to people close to him. His feelings were hurt that Katie would say that to him, but she was just like, you know,
That's kind of ballsy on her part, because how does she even have power? She isn't even the Bachelorette yet.
Well, she had been selected.
Sure, but that she would have the... That's a big deal.
And insiders close to Harrison say that he kept then calling...
Katie?
No, calling ABC. He tried to smooth talk his way back with the producers.
Right.
When they started filming it, and he was just making calls to people on set, begging them to put in a good word for him. And then when Chris found out he was being replaced as Bachelor in Paradise with the first one announced
David Spade.
Yeah. Chris then hired the lawyer who helped Megyn Kelly
get her
NBC.
NBC.
And just like Megyn Kelly,
And Gabriel Union from America's Got Talent, same attorney.
Yeah, and so Chris got $9 million, as well as remaining contractual fees from his role as an executive producer for another $1 million. And so that number's a lot, but if he's making $5 million a year hosting
it. He got a two-year buyout.
So anyway, that's the story. That was the final kind of a thing, was Katie... saying that. And then Lindsay Rachel. Yeah, she did an op-ed for what magazine is it? Maybe the New Yorker, for the New York magazine.
Okay.
And she said that about that whole conversation with Chris Harrison, and when she said to him, well, if I'd been at this antebellum party, what would I have been to those women?
Right.
And Chris Harrison just looked at her, and she said, she writes in this article, this franchise has spent 19 years cultivating a certain audience. They constantly give it what the audience wants, a Midwestern, Southern white, blonde, light-eyed Christian. Not all viewers are like that. And when I came on... the hate she got was incredible.
Right.
And then when she pushed back on Chris Harrison in that interview, you know, she had to go off social media because she was getting death threats.
Terrible.
And she just said, you know, there's Bachelor Nation, but there's also Bachelor Clan. This is a pretty searing op-ed that she wrote. So
do you guys think, with all this done, so it's done, so Chris Harrison's out.
I'm so glad. I feel like it's got a fresh energy.
It is fresh. Okay, do you see him coming back, hosting anything in any capacity at all?
No,
game
maybe,
show?
Maybe.
I
mean,
he'll be on MTV doing like one of those, The Challenge or something like that. I can feel him doing that.
He'll do something
that. But he will.
You know, people never like being forced out of a job. It's like when you get, you know, dumped versus if you're the dumper.
Billy Bush, got forced out of his job.
Yeah, but he got paid $10 million and then he gets basically his old job back.
He did.
Yeah. Some people use this as a motive. Like when some people lose an opportunity because they did something wrong or just simply lose an opportunity, it motivates them even harder to come back stronger, be a better person, hopefully in his case.
Right.
And so sometimes... and then some other people just say, hey, I'll take the money and hang out. But I feel like some people, you know, I'm like the opposite, where if I get let go from an opportunity, I'm like, well, what can I do to be better?
How can I change it?
So sometimes that motivates people.
This Variety article, Chris Harrison was furious.
He could not understand
what he did wrong.
That was embarrassing. Yeah.
What he did wrong.
That was embarrassing.
You know? Yeah, kind of. And so, like, he just couldn't get it. And I'm very impressed that Katie... not only
that's
had the cojones to say it to him,
but said it to the suit. That's something.
You know, because that's one thing, saying it to somebody. I am not going to do the show. I'll walk away if you're going to host.
Right.
It's laying it on the table.
Katie.
Yeah, Katie is laying it.
We'll see how it goes, because The Bachelor is coming back tonight.
That's right. And also, this is the last week of Conan O'Brien's half-hour talk show on TBS.
Yeah.
Love Conan.
Me
Neil
too.
Justin had a great story. A salute to Conan.
Yeah.
His final week, it's Jack Black, Dana Carvey, Bill Hader. And so his last night is Thursday. But yeah, Neil Justin, he really is just a talented goofball.
Oh, he really
makes me laugh.
The minute he went to TBS, it was the ratings dived. on Conan because it was hard to remember it in the wheel.
Yeah.
It what hurt him was when he got that first, didn't he get the first job as the late night show? Right.
Yeah,
and then it just, the older audience couldn't, because he was
deal with his goofiness,
which college kids at his time when he was doing so well prior to that was huge. And then he went on that and TBS, I think it kind of let him open up a little bit more, but it definitely just kind of.
Yeah, and what happened with Leno? Who was it that's flip-flopped with Leno? Because Leno went prime time.
It was Conan.
Was it Conan? Yeah. And then Conan took over Lennon, his job. And then Leno said, nope, change my mind. I want to come back.
It was a fecacta mess.
Yeah. So he's been pushed.
So he's going to be doing these different specials with HBO Max. Yeah. All right. All right, listen, we come back. This guy is now father to twins, and he absolutely stuck with the Bolt name theme. And then we got another story about another dad with twins and another baby on the way. If you're going to New York, Chris Hewitt is letting us know that the girl from the North Country returns to Broadway October 13th. Bob Dylan, it's the 5-year anniversary of him winning the Nobel Prize. Remember that was open for like 2 weeks and then
it all shut down.
And he loved this show. That it was
good.
Spectacular.
Yes.
So if you're planning a trip to New York, you know.
I like it.
Okay, so Usain Bolt is now father to twins. And
the winner.
He absolutely stuck with the Bolt name, you guys. The theme is quite lovely. And remember, now he won 8 times. He's a gold medal winning sprinter. Wow. He's been called the fastest person alive, which as far as running branding is like pretty epic.
I would say there were some of the Olympic trials were going on last night.
Yes.
The running stuff. And it's pretty, it's kind of fun to get
track.
Into it.
I love watching
you
track.
Like you watching I, track? I do. That's okay.
I do. I like the gymnast. I like all of it kind of. But anyway, did he go normal or did he lean all the way into the punniness of his last name?
Luckily, give us the names.
Luckily for everyone involved. He did. Their little girl is named Olympia Lightning Bolt.
Darling.
And now there's another Bolt-like name. And now his little boys are called Thunderbolt and Saint Leo Bolt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, their last name's Bolt. Thunderbolt and Saint Leo Bolt. Those are cute. So Saint and Thunder.
Mm-hmm. And Olympia Lightning.
Wow.
She's got the best middle name.
She does. Wow.
So, yeah.
I this is the one that I'm a little more intrigued with besides Usain Bolt is Nick Cannon. Now, Nick Cannon, he's going to have 4 different children within a year with 3 different baby mamas. And he already had 2 or 3 kids prior, 2 with Mariah Carey and then 1 with another woman. So he is expecting his 4th child in less than a year with the 3rd different woman. So Father's Day is busy for him.
Well, he's wild and popping off, just like wild and out, fertilizing every vag that he comes across.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah, he's not thinking with the right head, is he?
No, but seriously,
that is a lot. I just think if I was his ex-wife and I have 2 children with him, and then I would be a judger.
Oh, I would sit him down and be like, come on, dude.
Yeah. What are you doing to our
down.
Kids? Because our kids want to know their siblings, but now you're making it a little too difficult from a coordination standpoint.
It might be time for 5 different moms to have the vasectomy talk.
Right. I mean, I would kind of be like 3 and 4 in 1 year. I'd be kind of like, come on.
But why do I get the feeling that on the same day the woman posts a maternity ward selfie with her new bundle of joy, another woman will be using the same social media platform to say, I do. I'm pregnant with Nick Cannon.
Well, I feel like I wonder what's...
People magazine has the expecting 8th child story all written out. I mean, he just needs to get a vasectomy.
Right.
You know.
I would be. If I had children with him, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, stop it.
Okay, but some people, Julia, are like, I'm thinking my butterfly Chanteuse, Mariah Carey.
Okay.
She ignores that he has other children. She has told her kids, those are not your brother and sister. You two are each other's brother and sister. That is just sperm, and you're not going to have a relationship with them. Aww. They live in Brooklyn. No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
This is a very real thing that some parents will just say, you're not going to be involved. There's not a relationship there.
Right.
Because not everybody lives in the same town and the same...
I understand, but I mean from prioritizing him being a parent and being at your kids. I don't know. That's just me. That's all I'm saying. I can say that. That's my opinion.
No, I'm not saying
as a parent, it would be hard because there's so many different than children families out there. And so many, when your kids grow up, you want your dad to be at stuff.
He's going to have to.
He spread very thin.
Very thin.
He spread very thin.
Nothing you can do about any of that. And Mariah doesn't even bother trying to talk about it. She just lets Moroccan.
And Morocco.
And Morocco, no, or whatever the names are.
No, that isn't. It's Moroccan and.
Whatever their names are. The twins. Let's just call them the twins. She just lets them know those are not your.
Let's just forget about the names now.
Those are not your brothers and sisters. We're not exchanging gifts. We're not going to know their names. They don't mean anything to you.
Easy for you to say, but then as a 14-year-old or something, I want to know my siblings.
Maybe you don't, though. Maybe you don't.
I love you.
Set yourself up for some disappointment sometimes.
Right. Yeah. I love you. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
All these people. Your dad had the crazier.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if he's going to just go shooting his seed off all over the place, it doesn't mean you have to go, oh, my brother, my sister, if you don't want to. I mean, does that sound cold and harsh?
Yes.
Well,
but it's up to them. They can make that choice. If they want to, they
can. You can't tell me that people haven't already done this with serial prolificate, you know.
Sperminators.
That's right.
Sperminators.
Guys who can't figure out how to use a condom, right?
Right.
Or just, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird that he is spreading his seed like a Duger or fundamentalist or something.
Lori, it is.
You know? But yeah, Mariah doesn't pay it any mind.
I love it.
I love
it. Just let him do his own chaotic moves, and you stay and be the queen
that
you are.
This is why, you know, he's got all these jobs.
Uh huh.
You know, because he is getting a talk show this fall.
Oh God.
Uh huh.
Really?
And he's got the Masked Singer.
Yeah, he does.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's a lot of children to pay child support for.
Mm-hmm.
So keep working, Nick. Spread yourself thin. You're going to have to rotate out birthdays, Christmas, Father's Days.
Get a money manager for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Right.
Keep track of all those payments.
Right.
You do not want to miss one.
A scheduler.
Yeah. Geez, apparently we're going to want to watch this new Rick James documentary, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
What's it on?
Okay, so it is... Well, premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival, Sharon Stone redeemed herself and went to another film, but she wore a leopard dress and glamorous glasses, and her hair looked pretty good and so much better than her.
And yet we spend so much energy on what Sharon Stone's wear, and because Nick Cannon, just ignore those kids.
Yeah, well, I mean, she showed up one day looking like she was going shopping at Trader Joe's downtown. Manhattan or something. Espadrilles.
It drives Lori crazy, Grant, if Sharon doesn't
look
try.
Great. Oh, I hate
it. Needs to try.
So I don't know if she was there for the Rick James documentary, but it is called Bitchin', The Sound and Fury of Rick James. And so we'll be able to see it sometime this year. And it was filmed by Berry Gordy's oldest son.
Oh, all right.
Harry Gordy. He's the guy who put it together, and he was his former manager, and he vividly describes, I guess he's just in the movie, he vividly describes, because he was Rick James' manager, how Rick, frustrated by disappointing sales for his 1982 album Throwin' Down and the tour, marched into the office of then Motown president Joe Lasker to deliver his next album. Then he proceeded to pour coke onto Lasker's desk, snort it, jump on top of it, take out his wiener and shoved it in Lasker's face and said, sell my bleeping record.
Oh, God. Okay, now those are the days.
Then Gordy reveals that after Rick James left the room, Lasker simply said, Lionel Richie.
Oh.
And signaling that would be all of muscles of Motown would be put behind Lionel Richie and screw Rick James.
Okay.
It didn't work.
Okay, for Rick James.
For Rick James.
That performance never helped him.
It didn't help.
But can you imagine sitting at your desk and having him come in and do that? And you just sit there like,
okay.
What?
Do you guys remember his skits that Chappelle did for his show all the time when Charlie Murphy would talk about the stories of Eddie Murphy and Charlie Murphy hanging out with Prince and Rick James and what Rick James would torment Prince and Eddie Murphy?
Prince opened the Rick James tour.
That's right.
Oh, God. You ever get a chance, go Google Rick James the show.
Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle show. Rick James, Dave Chappelle show. You will laugh.
I might have to.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess it is supposed to be kind of an epic. They had archival footage, and it's going to be September 3rd on Showtime.
Oh, it is. Okay, so we have a date. Okay.
And even Rick James is on camera himself just saying, admitting we were on the verge of insanity. Everybody was snorting cocaine. Everyone was taking Quaaludes, drinking Cristal, Dom Perignon, and getting butt naked and doing it in the bathroom.
His famous line from the Chappelle show, quote from him, cocaine's a hell of a drug. That was his famous line.
Oh my word. I don't know that we'll ever see that level of stuff, like the cocaine years. Do you?
I have no idea.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
The 80s like that.
I don't think we'll ever see that again.
Probably just as well.
True. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.